soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we could come before you to praise and worship you. All that thrills my heart is Jesus. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for that mercy which you showed, Lord, that washes our sins like crimson, as white as snow, through the precious, precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, we come before you today to praise and thank you, to worship you, Lord, for all your goodness and mercy towards us. It's poured out and running over. And Lord, sometimes we do not appreciate just how much you give us, Lord, and how much you care for us, Lord. Again, Heavenly Father, we pray for John as he proclaims your word. We pray that you'd use and encourage him as he ministers for you, Lord. Just pray your hand upon him. Again, Lord, we pray for every head that's bowed here today. We pray you'd draw near and bless each and every one. Meet them at the point of their needs, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we especially pray for those who are unable to be with us, Lord. Those who are at home and are sick, Lord, and those in hospital, Lord. We think of Margaret Smith today, Lord. We just pray your hand upon her, a healing touch. We pray for Naomi as well, Lord. We just pray for all who are in need of that touch from you this day, Lord. Draw near and touch each and every one. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for being able to come and to be here, Lord, to meet and to realize in your promise, Lord, that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst. So, Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would bless and encourage us as we met together, Lord, and we just pray for others, Lord, who are proclaiming your word in other places this morning. We think of Albert and Bowden, Lord. We just pray you bless and encourage him as he ministers for you and others too, Lord, where the word is faithfully preached. We pray that souls will be won for the kingdom, Lord. These things we ask, Lord, in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Alec. Let's stand and sing again, Open My Eyes Let Me See, and then we'll take our seats and we'll sing a children's song after that. Let's rise to sing this one.
My ears illumine me, Spirit.
You'll have noticed, by the way, there's a hole outside the wall there. Scottish Southern electricity. What we're actually doing is trying to save some money, because the three-phase supply, well, it's not actually a three-phase supply, I get confused with this, because the SSE has said we've got a 400 amp cutout, which means that we can use a lot of power on the kitchen appliances being on and stuff, but what we're doing that at the moment, with the daily charges, I mean, it's real daily charges and stuff. So we're actually changing the cable out to a single phase, which is much cheaper, and it'll be within what we're using. I do believe that we're going to take out the cable between the hole and the meter there to a three-phase cable, but only connect one of the three phases with 100 amp. Of course, it'll be strenuous. But in the future, good will, if and when the time turns, we've really got every electrical appliance in the church being used positively, we can very easily connect up the other two phases. So they're booked for Fridays, the 12th of July. There was actually five men for the hydro board there a few weeks ago. They decided that they didn't have time to do the job because they were only booked for the morning. In the Nordic case, the hydro doesn't do the whole job now because you have to get the meter company in for the electrical provider to fit a single phase meter. So it's been a bit of a nightmare trying to coordinate, and hopefully we may have managed to get a bit of focus to arrange the single meter phase going on Friday afternoon. So if we didn't have, we wouldn't have any power and a lot of meters connected up. So we might need to push it back even further. Who knows? See, now we're with the council, so I can't. But here, well, I mean, the important thing is that regardless of the level of electrical power in this church garden, it's the spirit of God power that we need in our hearts and lives, isn't it? It totally is. And so we praise God for His presence with us and for each one gathered here today. Now, I think, was it Amanda's turning point? We lost Monday, correct? So it'll be a week on Monday for how many folk turned up just around Bristol did Amanda say?
Seven,
that's great. So continue to pray for Amanda and the folks that are coming in that she helps us there from lunch for turning point Scotland on a fortnightly basis, so it's a week tomorrow. Zone 2 PM tomorrow. The Wednesday night prayer meeting this week will be on Zoom at 8 PM. Now, there is a members meeting on Tuesday night, the 25th of June, and there's questionnaires to be returned to the box in the vestibule by today. But I mean, if you've forgotten about it, don't worry, because I'm going to go in the box till Tuesday. So if you, even if you're bossing a cap and you've filled out a questionnaire, put it in an envelope or a box, just put it through the letterbox and make sure that that's in the box as well. The fitness and fellowship Thursday night is going to stop for the summer, but the Pilates class, I believe, is still on the Saturday morning at 9:30 in Work Hall. The final prayer meeting, as is necessary, we're going to stop praying, of course, we keep on praying, but in terms of the Zoom prayer meetings, there is one on Zoom at 8 PM Wednesday night, and the following Wednesday, which is a day of the members meeting, Wednesday the 26th of June, we're hearing a physical prayer meeting upstairs, but it will be on Zoom as well. I'm not sure how technically it'll work. I did buy a wee conference microphone thing. It's been a while since we've seen a physical prayer meeting, because after the COVID stuff, it kind of all went to Zoom, it stayed on Zoom, but it'll be lovely to hear a physical prayer meeting. We're here now on Wednesday night, the 26th of June. It's a slightly earlier time, 7:30. But hopefully it should be going longer than half an hour. And connection you can make that, but obviously for people who can't make it, the Zoom motion will still be there for the summer break. In your prayers, you remember those who are ill, laid aside. Margaret Smith has been mentioned, I think she got home from the hospital yesterday. Our son John Smith, as well as been going through care in the hospital following his operation a few weeks ago. Andrew Strzok, and as far as I'm aware, is still in the hospital. He is home now, is he?
Home
yesterday, okay. Never to pray for Andrew as well, his mom and dad and granny and granddad. John Mark's mom, Naomi, is still in the hospital as well. There's a host of others that are laid aside and ill, and the list could go in and on. George Summers, Alice Buchan, Billy Young, Jess Lesser, respect, Greta. I'm sure there's many, many others. In fact, we all need prayer, don't we? What do we do? So keep on praying. Next week, God willing, Mark Muller will be the speaker next Sunday. So that, I think, is one of the announcements. Before I hand over to John, there is tea following the service. So do stay behind in the back row for tea and refreshments. John will come up and give us the message in the reading after we sing this hymn, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Saviour," and stand beside me.
place since, and I've been here. I'm a little bit more nonetheless. I'm not quite sure how long it took Normandy to get out of America's roof. It usually needs changes very quickly. So I always get traveling and then I get the brand of the light. But she decided to change were phone companies in my head. I've gone for sincerely made. My internet was doing so. I think Norman Arthur made it one way and we've seen the smoke signal. But the text was requiring a dynamic preacher to come and share this. Somebody filled with the Spirit, we a powerful and anointed message. But they were obviously supposed to be I think that's what they call an icebreaker. There's nothing worse than somebody speaking via a platform and they're speaking in just space. And that's why we want to try and get congregation together. Again, we're all here for the same thing. We're all here to worship the Lord. We're here to enjoy one another's company. But I wonder, how's my expectancy levels this morning? Why are we here? Now you might say, well, this is for Venus and the Dawn. We come together and sing these wonderful songs that, hey, I really enjoy your ministry and music. I really did. Some of these hymns I've been sung for a long, long time. But why are we here? We're just coming because this is our upbringing, this is what we need. And it's sad to say, and again, this is a fact, because I've experienced it only in times we come together to fellowship, to worship the Lord, and we're going out the door and say, why do we come in? Something wrong. We should be expecting. We believe in the living God. We believe in the Holy Spirit's ministry. We believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet we come in. We're expectancy levels here. I've become known as a dipper stirrer. Not a bad boy. In fact, once or twice I've shared the pulpit and I've held a wooden spoon in my hand. Because the scripture says to stir up a gift within us. You know, whether a gift is singing or music or marking a tea, cleaning a hall, preaching a word, sharing a testimony, stir. It happens when we deny use the gifts of the Lord. We'll lose it. We'll lose it. So, what are we expecting this morning? Now, Norman's the last Norman I says, what time did you know when finish? He says, back at the road. That's fine. So, half past one is back at the road. Stay on a long speaker, but again, some preachers start their work 5 minutes to do the calling notes. My question this morning, are you waiting for a miracle? Are you looking for a miracle? Is there something that you realize is missing for your life? Whether it be that passion for the Lord, whether it be the passion for the loss, whether it's just sometimes you get in the rut spiritually. And it's often difficult to get moving. But as Norman was encouraging us to pray, don't let that's one prayer. To love to suit the position we're in and to be a position. For when we were saved and we were in a lost estate, don't let that one prayer. And we were transformed miraculously to the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. One prayer. Or maybe Dean Wicks someone said that the Lord working in our hearts, but one prayer. Are you looking for a miracle this moment? Well, miracle is defined as an extraordinary, not ordinary, humdrum, run-of-the-mill, an extraordinary and welcome event that can't be explained by natural or scientific laws, therefore it is attributed to God. Let's read the word of the Lord this morning. We're looking at chapter 5 of John's Gospel. And read from 10:6 to verse 9. And Judah told me, let the one that was a Jewish festival not read the Amplified Version, for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem a pool near the sheep gate. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches, and in these lay a great number of sick people, some lame, some crippled, and some paralyzed, waiting for the bubbling of the water. Now this verse is named every Bible. And it says, for an angel of the Lord went down at appointed seasons into the pool and moved and stirred the water. See, stirred, when he could be stirred. So the angel stirred up the water, and whoever then first after the stirring up of the water stepped in was cured of whatever disease with which he was afflicted. There was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep sleep and lingering disorder for 38 years. But when Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you want to become well? Or are you really in earnest about getting well? And the invalid answered, sir, I have nobody but the water is moving to put me into the pool. But while I am trying to come into it myself, somebody else steps in ahead of me. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your bed, and walk. And instantly, I often we see this from the scripture, instantly or straight away, instantly, in the word of God, the man became well, and recovered his strength, and picked up his bed and walked. But that happened on the Sabbath. Now, when I came into the conversation afterwards, because there was a healing on the Sabbath day, and the so-called religious leaders didn't like it. But anyway, we'll trust the Lord for his blessing to the reign of Christ God. And because Alec is so kind already prayed over the word and the preacher, we'll carry on. So, first in verse 1 emerges, help to scratch the surface here. We're looking at a great feast. Previous chapters, Jesus had performed a few miracles and he was coming up to Jerusalem. Now, it would have probably been the Passover feast, and the streets in Jerusalem would have been chock-a-block. It was a bit like when I was reminded just that I was speaking to one of my brothers, who had St. David, when there was a boat launch, the hill village left. Again, there was an excitement in the air at Passover. All the crowds would have gone, and they would have gathered, they would have been doing and throwing in the streets, just catching up with things, remembering God's miraculous delivery for Egypt, and having this opportunity to celebrate the feast and remember it. There would have been rejoicing there. There would have been singing. There would have been music and dancing. Of course, there would have been rather folk and ceremony at places of worship as well. But in the midst of everything that was going on, Jesus was in the midst. And let me just say, whatever situation you are in, Jesus is right at the center of it. See, we are happy in this northeast corner, but where are Brazil? How are you today? Oh, I'm fine. You must have had a doctor's surgery again. How are you today? Oh, I'm fine. Why are you here? Before. Because it's, for my eyes, that much for you get northeast guys. We never deal. Okay, we've struggled with things. But Mary Mayer, but in modern times too, we're going to open up. Not only to each other, but we need to open up to the Lord. I wonder, if I was to give you a 10-pound note, like that, and your hand was like this, you wouldn't be able to receive it. And it's the same in Scripture, because sometimes our heart and our minds are as closed, the Lord's willing to bless us, the Lord is present. But it doesn't say that the crowds were flocking down.
Probably the majority there never realised he was in the midst. And how often that is like the church today, that the Lord is here. Sometimes we didn't open up and allow him to minister.
Look at Father Archdiocese. John tucks us in the Jerusalem, the city of peace. Special place in God's heart. The psalmist says the Lord has chosen Jerusalem and will dwell there forever. Further on in Psalm 97, he says, God's people are never to forget Jerusalem and be exalted above their chief joy. See, we are encouraged to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we're focused then, we're at feast, we're at Jerusalem, but then John directs our focus and our attention even there. He next highlights the pool here, the sheep gate. The sheep gate for our sacrifices and the offerings would come through to be offered to God in that worship and service. I wonder, how does the Lord ask a worship and service? Not to expect that we would have been money of our pocket and put it in the collection. I'm speaking, how is your and my service to the Lord? The everyday things. How are we living our lives for the Lord? You see, I have to confess here that I was a Martha with a desire to be a Mary for a number of years. I was doing all the right things. I was opening up a hallmark, and surely heating's on, so I'm sure some of you hear this as well. Setting up communion and setting up the seats, the nickeling and all this. Again, and you'll often find in fellowships that a small majority of the congregation seem to be out of work. I'd say scripture teaches. Scripture teaches, again, we've had to pull in the same direction. We've had to use our gifts for our days for the benefit of others. But I did that for many, many years, thinking I was doing good. And of course, it was good works. Good works come from the day. To say, I was Martha, so focused in getting things right and nothing, thinking this was my worship of the Lord. I was worshipping the church. I was worshipping fellowship, really. And obviously, I had desire to be a Mary, at the feet of Jesus, enjoying his presence, spending time there, telling all my problems, just soaking in his presence. Of course, Martha and Mary herself were expected to put their hands to plough, were expected to carry out this everyday thing, but no expense and missing out for Jesus is for us. So I'll leave my challenge with you, I will be challenged to do everyday. So we're at the sheep gate, and John points to this pool, kind of days there. Otherwise, Bethesda means a house of mercy or a house of grace. And right now in verse 2 it says there were five porches. Well, numbers are of significant to scripture. And for our Bible scholars, five always speaks about grace. Always speaks about grace. Number 5 in scripture is God's power in the midst of weakness. So we have this crowd of sick folk, we are their needs and illnesses and nothing, but it says they were at the pool Bethesda, which had five porches speaking of grace. You see, even though some were shriveled, some were blind, some paralyzed, they were still under grace. Now, we can all look and examine the red marks and say, well, okay, I think there's still this issue I need to deal with. I have problems dealing with that. I'm not worshipping all the ways of the day. You're still under grace. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hey, we'll slip up, we'll get a problem. We're still under grace. These crowded sick folk were there. We are the means in a place of grace. But under the shelter of grace, huge crowd. It doesn't say how much, but it says sick people, blind, crippled, paralyzed, but ugly with great needs. They were under the shelter of grace, and Jesus was in the midst. God's grace in human form. We often speak about grace being God's riches at Christ's expense. But Jesus was in the midst, the bringer of God's unmerited favour. The bringer of favour shown to the unworthy. Hey, that's us. In our sinful state, we were unworthy. He broke us in. And his heart was sailed through the sinner's prayer. It is all because of his blood shed for us. That we can be healed, that we can be forgiven, that we can be restored, that we can be renewed. Others people with similar needs and in similar situations, but often gather together to support and encourage each other. But they were all waiting. They all had a purpose. They all had a need. Their expectation was that if they were the first to get into the pool, they would be healed. Why did they believe that? They had obviously seen it. They had seen it, so they came that their faith was never misplaced. They were gathering together, waiting for a miracle. They were waiting for deliverance for their sickness. They were needing deliverance for their infirmity. They were needing restored. They were needing to be changed. You can't ask them because day by day it says we should be changed. Day by day into the likeness and the radiance of Christ. And into this desperate community, the only one that was able meet the need, because Jesus was in the midst. Never forget. And again, he must have been reading my notes because he prayed this very scripture. Where two or three are gathered in my name, and I prefer that, I'm going to forget this, I am in the midst. One of the great names of God, that I am. We often miss what said again, there am I in the midst. Where two or three are gathered in my name, says the Lord Jesus, I am, is in the midst. We are gathered in Jesus' name this morning. We come to worship God through him. There's neither one in the Lord, scripture says, except through Jesus. Verse 4 tells us the reason why this crowd were there. They had a reason for being here. I'm sure we all have a reason for being here this morning. And prayed, we thank the hearts. They had witnessed the miraculous, they'd seen it with their own eyes, so they knew if they were the first person that once the water was there, they would be healed. They would be restored. They would be renewed. They would be cleansed. They would be transformed. No longer crippled, feeble people, but filled with healing power. But they were focusing on the water. They were focusing on the pool being stirred. Now, doesn't it say in scripture how often this happened? Was it every year? Was it every couple of years? A couple of times a month? We don't know. They were waiting. They were waiting for a miracle. And as I said it already, what are we waiting for this moment? They were waiting for an angel. A messenger of God. They were waiting for an opportunity to respond. They were waiting for their hope to be turned into reality. They were waiting for a chance to have their lives changed and transformed. I wonder, I was looking around this moment, doing the same things, the same lives as we've always did. We've got to hope for the times. Everything modern is nae a great. things that we're putting on now is not always going to happen. We've got to progress. I'm glad I've progressed because, I mean, I was thinking in my life and I would just be calling a book in my hands and knees. But I grew. And we are to grow spiritually as well. And we're there, we hope that their life would be changed. They wanted the opportunity to change their situation. For them to be restored to this abundant life that Christ has promised. And this is something that we sometimes miss out as well. We have life, but we have abundant life. But they wanted to receive strength in the place of their weakness. They wanted to receive sight in the place of their blindness. They wanted to receive health in the place of their sickness. They wanted restoration in the place of their brokenness. They wanted hope in the place of desperation. But they were looking at the water. They were focused on this. And often people look at for the answer to their problems in the wrong place. They'll look at horoscopes, look at tarot cards, spiritualists, they'll look at drink, drugs, nothing that the world has to offer. But they will never bring the solution. And Jesus quite clearly says, listen, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. They looked upon the pool. Their focus and their attention was on the pool. But Jesus was in the midst. I'm going to tell you, that problem you're facing just now, that trial you might be in the middle of, that the right might be facing, I want to tell you, did I look like them in water? Did I look for miracles outside of Christ? Focus your attention on the Lord Jesus. That is our focus, He is our attention. And as they focused upon the water, something critical happened. Jesus focused on the man. 38 years he had been here. We didn't get to know all the man was. But I would say it was a big part of his life for he'd been in England. He'd been in a situation for 38 years, he'd been suffering, he'd been disappointed, probably. Rush on because I see a clock in everybody clock. 38 years, and I dare say every day it would have been a case of always looking at what was happening on the road, just a reflection. Thinking, is this the day that I'm going to receive my healing? Is this going to be the day? And for 38 years, every time the water was stirred up, he was so excited. There was an opportunity there. He only had to get there first. But there's always somebody else got there first. And then this effect would be set there. Then the water would be set again, the excitement would rise, and he would try his best to get into the water. Somebody else got there first. This effect. And sometimes in the church, when we see one fellowship flourishing, why is that not happening with us? God's timing is perfect. Can that be done hard? Remember, there's only two or three of us here. The world is amazing to us. But like this man, he had been disappointed. He kept disappointment time after time after time. 38 years, I surely think he came up. No matter how long you've been praying for an unsaved family member. The wife and I just celebrated our 57th, or better, I haven't been here, but we started the 7th that day. We started the 7th year in Mary. Someone said, if I give up, absolutely not. Because at just the right time, when Jesus is in the midst, and she recognizes him as Lord and Savior, should be transformed. But this one, 38 years, I hope man, 38 years, just desperate for that. Was it his faith that kept him trying to get in the water? And then I think so. as you read further on the story. Faith-based compelling was desperation. How desperate are we to see our Lord once saved? How desperate are we to see the Lord work in our life personally? How desperate are we to see God moving in our community, God moving in the fellowship, God moving in our family? That could be our individual working in our lives. 38 years, his hopes had been raised, dashed, disappointed. And putting myself into his mind was a case of, well, will I ever get healed? Will it ever be, as we would say, my short day? Will my life ever be changed? Am I destined to be his wife forever? And something here it says, when Jesus spoke to him, he says, well, I've maybe to tap into the water. No friends, no family. Well, I was very sorry. The man was depending on the little strength he had to try and get into the water, realizing that there in the midst of the Sundays and June be all power in heaven and on earth. He'd been there thinking, that was somebody else healed. Somebody else in the water. Somebody else being transformed. Somebody got up off the pool, the front of the wedding man, thinking, that could have been me. That should have been me. If only I had somebody to help me. As I say, in a roller coaster, excitement, disappointment, excitement, disappointment. But here came one that was able to help. That was able to heal. Jesus was in the midst. The cripple had hoped that somebody would help him into water. But Jesus simply asked that question. Do you want to become well? I wonder, is the Lord asking you a question this moment? Maybe to get that, do you believe I can save that one, save that one? Do you believe I can bring you this situation or that trial that you're facing in just now? Do you believe that I am able to move into whatever situation we find ourselves in this moment? He asks us exactly the same question. Do you want to become well? He asks us that same question. Do you want me to minister into your situation and in your life? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be cleansed? Do you want to be restored? Do you want to know him truly as Lord and Saviour? Making him lip service, but worship for our heart. And then the man explained his problem. How often he cried for help. Probably prayed to God. How he had wept. How he had been in desperation. Yet Jesus knew. This was the day. This was the hour. Jesus was in the midst. He was there to meet his need. He is here this morning to meet your need and my need. He didn't lift him on into the water. He didn't help him into the water. He lifted him with his word. And again, God's word is powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. The word is able to transform lives. He simply said, get up. Pick up your bed and walk. See, Jesus made his greatest need, and we can be the same here this morning. Some might say, I'm okay, I'm happy with my life. Maybe, but maybe you're like this man, something missing. As I mentioned earlier, good works, kind deeds, peaceful living, attending church, reading the Bible, all good things, but only a real relationship. We go through Jesus to meet our present hopes, our present needs, and our future hopes. And we're not going to go any further back, so I'm not going to walk again. But I really want to leave with you. This was a dire situation this man was in. We're maybe, well, Amos is in a season here, wheelchairs, something like that, so we're okay. We're okay. But the man had a need. that our needs here this morning. And I can say that without any question, because I can look at my end life and I can have needs that no one the Lord can meet. And here is Him. If we try and make it, Jesus is in the midst. He's here to bless, He's here to heal, He's here to meet the very good need. Is there a heart that is waiting? Is there a heart that is waiting for healing? Is there a heart that is waiting for restoration? Is there a heart that is waiting for that real and worthy God? And then again, it is with singers, not can they know unto the Lord and allow Him? Then I just pray within yourself, but close up your heart. As you pray, as you sing, open up and allow the Lord by His Holy Spirit to minister right now. The situation we're in this morning. Ask me to be gentle, Savior. Sorry, is there a heart that is waiting? Or what is it saying?
Around that pool, Lord, willing to heal, so you are here in the midst of all.
Father, we just pray, Father, that you would be pleased with our worship and our adoration this morning. And Lord, set us up into greater things, Lord, that we've been in our life. Lord, we've maybe accomplished so much, but Lord, you've so much in store for us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there aren't many things in my life, and that we want to be under the unction and under the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. The deeds that we might do, Lord, might be everlasting and we bring glory to the name of you. Father, we pray, as we would part one to the other, Lord, we pray, Father, Lord, that your love would just burn brightly within our hearts, Lord. Father, you burn up any dross that we've allowed to accumulate. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct us. And Lord, just as we read in this worship scripture, that Lord Jesus, your grace would be ever upon us. Lord, bless the fellowship after the service this morning. Lord, we pray for our fellowship here that you will indeed, Lord, set up the gift within each and every one. Lord, that we would see every seed slowly but surely be filled with souls that are wondering about the darkness. Father, we pray for the ministry at this place. We pray for the leadership, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that you would have your way. So we ask it in Jesus' name.